Just a little update on Greg James. Maybe you got the prayer request, some of you may have not, but yesterday morning about 9:50, Greg James and Mike Helms were together, and they were working with a gun, and gun accidentally discharged. Went through Mike's finger. He's had to have surgery, and it's going to be okay, but recovery there. Greg, just a miracle. Came so close, the bullet to just, striking a major area and could have just bled to death right then. So just a miracle with that. Did get to the hospital, though, and began to have some bleeding. They had to do surgery yesterday to stop the bleeding. When I got there finally, been in Atlanta, got there finally, he was on a vent. But the great thing was, Rick, he was wanting off, and that's always a great sign. Got to see him a little bit, gave me a thumbs up, and we got to pray together. But he's just pray. That's a real, thank God for the miracle of yesterday, but a lot of things there. Bleeding, infection, a lot of things. So just pray for Greg in a special way and for his family, and very hard for what they had to go through yesterday. So just be in prayer for them. In fact, let's just pause and do that. Lord, we're very humbled by how fragile life is. Lord, your ways are not our ways. Lord, and you tell us not to lean on our own understanding. But Lord, I pray that you would use these things that happen in our lives to draw us so much more to lean upon you and to seek you and to glorify you and serve you. And Lord, I pray for Greg, Lord, you just touch his wounds, touch for bleeding, for infection, for just blood pressure and all the things he's dealing with. Lord, just be with him and his dear family. Thank you for the doctors and nurses and the EMTs and all that had a hand. Thank you for just the miracle, Lord, that he's with us. Pray for Mike, Lord, just healing in his hand. Touch them emotionally and physically, Lord. Lord, touch their families. Lord, our prayer list is long. So many needs, Lord. Lord, I pray for Deborah. Lord, we miss her so. And we just ask that you would just restore her body and touch her, special touch. I pray you touch Byron and Dennis in a special way today. Touch, strengthen their bodies. Heal their bodies, Lord. Just those who have lost loved ones, Lord. And Lord, our list is long. But most of all, God, I pray that this morning that you would let your light shine brightly in our hearts and minds and our souls, Lord, and reveal, Lord, our condition. Lord, reveal our sin, and Lord, allow us to deal with where we are, knowing that you love us exactly where you find us, but you do truly love us too much to let us stay there. And Lord, I pray that you'd open your word to us and that, Lord, you would just take control right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. All ones except that 1-0. 1 John chapter 1. If you'd stand with me to honor God's word, I was practically challenged in studying on Thursday. One time a young pastor went to a well-known pastor and Bible teacher and commentary writer, and a young pastor asked him, said, what is the key to sermon preparation? He's waiting for some wisdom to come, and the older preacher said, just keep your rear end in the chair before the Bible and before God and let him do something. So I had rushed around the day, and I was studying and began to get into this passage, and Hilton was studying at school trying to get everything done for the men's trip. And I said, if he studies, I'll just study as long as he does. And Lord, I think he'd ever come home. Amen. But I'm thankful for that practical encouragement to study. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now notice very particularly in these next verses for you and I, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Lord, I pray, Lord, you as the great, Lord, convictor, that your light of the Holy Spirit might shine into my heart and my life and continue to reveal my sin, that I might continually be able to repent and turn and walk closer with you. I pray, dear God, that you would just open up everyone's heart and soul in this church, Lord, and that you'd reveal lostness and you'd reveal sin and the need for you, Lord, and that we would truly, Lord, want to understand these scriptures, and that, Lord, if we have your light, Lord, there'll be no darkness. Lord, there's so many fake Christians that are walking this earth. They don't know you. They don't serve you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would just do a work in our lives, Lord, in regard to our sin. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We'll just be seated. You know, once upon a time, that phrase, once upon a time, most all of us remember from being a child and the great excitement that those words would bring. Once upon a time would begin a story, and stories that are read to you and told to you, and even children now that you're reading to or grandchildren. Once upon a time, and these unbelievable and incredible stories would unfold in life. But then we grow up, and we realize that once upon a time is not reality at all. Amen? We come to understand that as we grow up, that life is a battleground and not a playground. And it was amazing as God had really led us to this passage, because it makes that statement in verse 5 that God is light. And we've been studying God's power and began last study looking at the power of his light. And as I said, I did have an opportunity, and God blessed with unusual opportunity to spend time in his word, and I'm doing that Thursday, and lo and behold, get on the bus Friday morning, head to the men's trip, we go to the night session, and so the Friday night and all Saturday morning is dealing with sin, amen? And so it was such a confirmation of where God had brought us to in these messages about God's power. And how overwhelming. I mean, even as I approached, Davey was meeting me at exit 27 there on 85, so we can meet and go to the hospital. And I appreciate a good son-in-law who loves, his father-in-law loves the Lord and left his family and came out, so I'm meeting. And testimony time's going on. If you've ever been on those trips, God can really move in an awesome way. But as we're doing that, my heart was, we can't miss exit 27, Leonard. Davey's waiting. I got to get the hospital. I've got to get to exit 27. So I say bye to Hilton. I make way in front of the bus, and I want to make sure. And as I sat down, then immediately the gentleman that came up began to share from another church. Well, as soon as Hilton got home, he's like, man, were you still on the bus when he talked? He began again to confess sin. The whole weekend has been that. Somebody just asked me, did you have a great time on the trip? Well, yeah, it was a great time hanging out. It was a great time eating convenience store food and other stuff we didn't need. It was a great time eating a good meal, but, man, we dealt with sin the whole time. Amen? Dealt with sin. And I was aware and reminded and, understand clearly this, y'all. Listen, some of you men literally had tickets and you were going. And something happened and you couldn't. God provided some other ways. So, some of you, it didn't even your radar. Some of you been and didn't like it and don't want to go back. And there's so many reasons why. Maybe you wanted to, couldn't to, or maybe you just didn't want to, or whatever. But what I was reminded of, it's so funny, and Sandy, I don't mind me telling this, I'm sure, but where's she at? Sandy, you know, I was down on the way home and told Sandy, and Sandy said, well, you know, I done decided I'm too old. I can't handle this. I'm not going back anymore. He led the trip. And me and Sandy were talking. I said, you know, well, Sandy, what the reality is that that's when we have to go. Because y'all sin, the Bible is about our sin problem. And about the whole Bible is about the sin problem and then about the solution that Jesus Christ is for sin. So that's all it's about. So that's what church is about. But we've got to the point in time and day where in church, very little time is sin talked about. And usually if it's talked about, somebody's leaving. Y'all all right? And invariably when I talk to people, I don't run around. You notice? I don't run around to your house and knock on the door and say, you know, I've come by, got a list of your sins that I've noticed other people have told me about, want to come in and deal with this. I don't do that because I don't want y'all coming to my house. I testified on the bus. I'll say it publicly for y'all. You know, 2.5 years ago, I had so many people so mad at me, and they had this list of the 3 main things that I was doing wrong, and they were all lies. But the problem was, there's a list, y'all. There's this entire list. They got the wrong. The list is huge. Thank God nobody got a hold of the list, because my sin list is long. Things that I do, I shouldn't do. Things that I should do, I don't do. It's long. And it was just such a convicting weekend. And my heart breaks for the things that we heard. The gentleman I mentioned is I'm waiting, and all of a sudden I'm not thinking about exit 27, and I'm not worried about getting off the bus, and I'm just worried about, oh my God, my heart is broken because this young man is standing up, and he said, well, my testimony's not like Brother Rocky's. Not like, and people were testifying how they still struggle with the thoughts because God's delivered them. He said, that's not mine. He said, men, and I say men and women, I hope what I'm going to tell you will help. He said, I love my sin more than I love my wife. He said, I love my sin more than I loved my children. He said, I love my sin more than I love my God. I'm going to tell you what the sin is. Because it doesn't matter what his sin is. Because sin's sin. All sin is the same. One young man stood up on that bus and said, you know, if I stood here and said that I struggle with alcohol, that'd be all right. I'm still a man's man. That's just common. If I stood up here and said I had a drug problem, Dickie, I'd still be a man's man and I'd be common. But see, he says, I stand here and tell you that I struggle with pornography. It makes me want to run and hide. It makes me know how that you'll judge me. And even as much as I know and read about the statistics, it was a reminder through the weekend that it is incredible that the sin of pornography and the ease of availability online and on your phones, and some of you men are struggling with that in this church today. You know how I know that? Because I know that Brother Johnny stood up and told us that there's a well-known preacher, a young preacher in church and ministry, that if he had called the name, that every one of us and every one of you know about, and the preacher is struggling with pornography, he's addicted to it, and he's reaching out for help, and Johnny's trying to help him, but he's not willing to give over and come spend a year getting released from it with God, so he probably is in the pulpit today. And so that tells me how many preachers, how many fathers, how many grandfathers and husbands are struggling. Folks, sin is something that must be dealt with. This young man said, I love my sin more than my wife. And I love my sin more than I love my children. I love my sin more than I love my God. And he said, So I don't want you men going home to an empty house like I'm going to home tonight. He said, I'm going to a house that me and my wife, we had built, and we were going to pay for together and raise our children. He said, man, I don't want y'all to have to go to an empty house and realize what sin had done. He said, I don't want you to have to go and look in empty rooms where my children used to be. Man, I don't want you to have to see that image that I see on a daily basis. I stand in my house, and as immediately I stand in it now, it doesn't even seem like the same place because of my sin that was even there before. He said, I don't want you to have the image of the U-Haul trailer. And that your wife and all of her stuff is loaded up and she's gone, and she's gone forever. That's what sin does. So there's 10 plus men in this church that for all this time we've been dealing with sin. It's just to the point where it just brings tears to you. So some of you, let me tell you, some of you, though, didn't go on this trip. You know you didn't go. Is because God had planned for you to go and deal with some sin, okay? And I don't know how, there's no way to bring back what happened, but tonight at 6 o'clock, I would beg every person, every man and woman to try to come back, that we could even try to begin tonight some way. As we practice this morning, to understand what sin. I mean, I can't get these things out of my mind, y'all. But the brokenness, the heartache, the devastation, and I deal with it all the time. I hear it all the time. I go visit it all the time. It is a constant thing, but it was so evident and so remindful as we were able to spend some time just dealing with sin. And what this passage in 1 John deals with is sin. Folks, we are in a battleground, and Satan is our enemy. And it's such good to have a reminder from a scripture like this that God is, listen, darkness is darkness, as light is light, and light of God is perfect and brilliant. And there can be no darkness in, if we truly know Him, there is no darkness. And all the ways that we try to deal with sin is what this passage is about. So let's try to dive in and understand. Just to introduce what John, see what John, if I could use, and I guess two words I read that describe this perfect, and I promise you, I'm going to kind of introduce this passage and pray God will help us unpack it over the next days together. But I read two words with an exclamation point that simply, as I studied, said, it's real. What John was saying is, it's real. Jesus is real. And that's where those, remember I read there, and as he said, that we saw him. And we heard him, and we felt him. And then he said he was manifested to us in another verse. So John says he's real. He really is true. And what John continues to say in this and throughout his book is, he said, sin is real. Sin is a real thing. And what happens is we live, our world is just designed on this made up. I was reminded, you know what we can do? You know, I pick the news site that I read most often. I do try to be well balanced enough. That's almost a word from the internet. I try to be balanced enough that I'll look at another news source to read and see what the more liberal view is. But I'm telling you, listen, I read what I want to read, okay? And if I'm going to look and hear what somebody, I'm listening to people I want to listen to. And you do the same. I mean, we do the same thing. But there's all these other varied things in the world that are going to be said and are stirring around. And a lot of it's just not real, amen? It's just not true. It's just crazy stuff. It's once upon a time. Battleground we live in. For all of time, though, when you get to the point in life and when real life hits you, and for most everybody here, in some way, real life has hit you. Not for some of the children, thank God. Not for Adelaide, thank God. But, you know, real life hits. What you begin to want to know is, okay, what is real? That's what John's answer. He says, sin is real. It's a real problem. It's an infection that will kill you and drag you to hell and will ruin your marriage and your life and your walk. Everything it'll ruin. He says, but Jesus is real. He's a real Savior. But for all of time, what John is trying to scream out, it's real, is we live in a world that wants, it's once upon a time. Live in a fairy tale. For all of time, listen, people have looked for reality and satisfaction in many ways. Think about it. In wealth, you know, thrills, conquest, power, learning, even religion. These are all the things that we have in the world that they're doing. And it's not real. Can you imagine all the money in the world wasn't going to help Greg laying there in the house. I mean, all the money in the world's not going to help. money was used to get help, but somebody could walk in and say, hey, I'll give $1 million for this to be over. $10 million for it to be over. It's not real. And so often in religion, there's so many things that aren't real. Y'all, that bothers me to think that, so there's somebody preaching this morning and I'm all focused on that, and just like y'all, boy, I wonder who it is, Who is that? That's not what important. It's everywhere and it's just not real. People aren't dealing with sin and living real lives. Real life is found that you can't satisfy your life with things or thrills. And that's what we usually do. If you don't have enough money to kind of make you happy and you don't have enough stuff to make you happy, then be a thrill seeker. Amen. We all have them. They go and do all this crazy stuff just seeking some meaning to life. And all the time when you focus on money and work and thrills and power, learning, whatever it is we focus on, the world focuses on, we're missing the reality that the only thing that is real is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to deal life, real life. And John says, what he's saying is it's real. But what happens today is, listen, it's a bad thing today if we talk about sin. Bad thing if we have a conviction about what's true and what's right in life. We abandon the ideas that there's absolutes in life. Everybody wants us to say, listen, every point's valid, every opinion we should listen to and listen and want to understand. We tolerate every viewpoint. If you don't like something, let's go protest. And what we do is, in our world, everybody seems to be forgetting what's right, that there is right and wrong. Amen? Do y'all agree? There's still right and wrong. There's still truth and error. There's still good and evil. And John deals with that. In John 8:32, the Bible says, And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Man, I'm so overloaded in truth right now from over the weekend, and it began, though, on Thursday afternoon. It began as the week went along. Listen, I tell you, the truth of who we are apart from Jesus Christ and the truth of how rampant sin is in our world. It's amazing what people will do to cover up their sin and hide their sin. And I'm in Psalms 19:8, listen to God's word. And not in Psalms 19:8, God says, the statutes of the Lord are right. He said, this is right. And he goes on to say, what it'll do is it'll bring rejoicing in your heart. And the commandments are pure and they'll enlighten your eyes. He's just saying that the truth is, when you read this, and I'm telling you, why some of you aren't spending time in the Bible is, as you read the Bible, it will shine that light, and it will shine the light on your sin, and it'll reveal it. It's great to have testimonies about sin, but man, I was getting it from the first preaching session we were in, the first breakout I went in. The problem is that we live in such a sinful world, and we all, man, we just are tolerating sin. We don't, and the very thing we want, a rejoicing of our heart. Is there any more? This we read in the passage, he talks about how joy can be full. That's the very thing we need and we want, it will make our lives wonderful, is the very thing we don't have because we're not dealing with the sin in our lives. I prayed in the prayer room earlier with all the men. We were simply praying, pray God, continue to reveal sin in my life so I can confess it and I can repent of it in turn. And I prayed the same thing for all of us gathered here this morning that we could do. Proverbs 22, in verse 21 says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. I'm telling you what, folks, only under the power of the Holy Spirit and a willingness to want to surrender and willingness to deal with sin will get people to the point that they'll stand up before you and start confessing all this ugly and dirty sin. And that's what it is. I mean, that's the only thing that'll do that. And my question to you this morning is, what sin in your life, what sin is in your life that's hindering? What sin is God wanting to deal with you on today that you already know that he's revealing this morning? We live in a world, listen, here's what we live in. To speak the biblical truth with clarity and boldness, that's what God calls us to do. What happens is we're condemned that we're insensitive, amen, and that we don't love people, we're unloving, and even that we're not even very smart. I read one gentleman said that denying that the Bible can be understood gives people a false comfort. They don't want to deal with the truth. And it's contrast to those who love the truth and are quick to seek it out and want to apply it to our lives. That's what God says. Deal with your sin and move on. Amen. Quit trying to excuse it. Quit trying to find another church or find another wife or husband or find another job or do whatever it is that you can find that your sin's okay. That's what Johnny told me several years ago. I was sharing a story with him, and he said, well, Jeff, I just find that people, you know, they're just going to find where they can be comfortable and do what they want to do. Amen? Man, there's this rampant in our world, this control. People want to be in control. And you know how I know that? And that's what John's talking about. John is releasing control. And he's talking, what we want to talk about and focus on is that last words in verse 1. Look with me. And if you want to underline it, highlight it, write in your notes, he begins to point to the word of life. He begins to point to Jesus. That's what the word of life is. And it's unchangeable. It was from the beginning. It's the true gospel. See, going back to this idea that we don't want to know the truth anymore, in John 3:21, the Bible says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they're wrought in God." That's what God desires. And some of you know. Some of you men used to go on men's trips. Some of you men used to be more involved. Some of you men read your Bible more. You're involved more, and you just don't do it. Some of you have never done it. Women in the same case. What I'm talking about here is the Bible is saying that if we really want it, and why I'm so, I want you to have the joyful life. I want you to have that complete heart. But the Bible says, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that our deeds can be manifest," is because there's this danger. Y'all, I'm not talking about people that y'all might look down upon and say, "Well, they've lived that old life. They've always been a mess." I'm telling you what, we had one, and Lord willing, I gotta let me help present it in some way at some time. But we looked at a picture, and I think it was one of my breakout sessions this week. Is that Satan is the enticer? You know, come on, let's go drink. Let's go do these drugs. Let's go look at some porn, men. Women, let's go flirt with a guy because my husband's sorry as he can be, and I'm looking for, y'all, okay? He's enticer. Come on. Then, after he entices you and you get involved in it, then all of a sudden he immediately switches. He's the accuser. He accuses you. Look what you've done. You're no good. God can't forgive you. Your wife or husband's going to find out. And he switches back and forth. And all of a sudden, the light is missing. And John is saying, once again, it's real. Sin's real. We need to deal with it. So it comes in verse 1 and talks about this word of life. This personal, oh, y'all don't miss this. When you see that word of life, I want you to notice it in that verse. I want you to think about it this week. See, it's the word of life. It's this word of life that reveals our sin. I mean, like I said, good trip, it wasn't a whole lot of fun. You know, I mentioned earlier how people like to be in control. You know how I know that? I like to be in control. I really do. That's, Sandy, why you and I have to go on the men's trip. I'm telling you, that bus trip is brutal. It's brutal. I mean, it's just brutal. It's long. It's rough. It's loud. It's uncomfortable. I'm encouraging people to go next year, ain't I? But you know what? It's exactly what God began to use in surrendering control to even go. And then surrendering. Yes, my family. Ain't nobody driving my family, me. And over the last few days and weeks, that's getting less and less. Davey's driving me last night. Bus driver drove me. But I needed that. Some of y'all, no, all y'all, we need that. I don't want to sleep in some hotel bed, use some hotel bathroom. Man, who wants to do that? God uses it. Because I like to be in control. Oh, don't look at me that way. Y'all like to be in control. But I wouldn't give anything. And it's not a men's trip. It ain't do the men's trip. It's getting before the truth. The other thing that was amazing when the word of life, see, I could just camp out here with this idea because John is saying, and understand, John is saying it's real. And John saw him. Could you imagine? John saw Jesus. And he heard Jesus' words. And you have, if John leaned on his bosom, he touched him. That's what he's saying. It's real. Do you understand, though, what John is talking about in this passage? It's not about the physical encounter that he had with Jesus. It's not the physical nearness that he had with Jesus. It was the spiritual nearness he had with Jesus. There were tons of people who saw Jesus and heard Jesus and touched Jesus that they don't have what John has. And so what that tells us, Miss Margaret, what the Bible is saying is we don't look at this and say, well, you know, if I had seen Jesus and heard Jesus and touched Jesus, then I could feel this way. And then I wouldn't be dealing with the sin I am, and I could be closer to what with him. But that's not what John is saying. John is saying there's a spiritual nearness that through the Holy Spirit that every one of us can join with John and say, I've seen him. Can you say that with me this morning? Because I'm telling you, I've seen him. And it ain't some ministry. I see him in my word. I see him in people. I see him in circumstances. I've seen him. I've heard him. Good gracious alive. I almost believe I would say now, I don't think I want to hear the audible voice of God speak and tell me anything, because he's speaking so loudly through his word and circumstances in this world that I don't know that I could handle if he spoke to me. A touch. I hardly ever cry. I don't be like my mom. Remember, my mama said one time that God took away her tears and she didn't cry about anything, and then God gave her tears back, and I ain't had either one happen. I never had them to be taken away or get back. And I'm sitting there in the pew, and I mean, you know, I'm sitting there and my gosh, got tears coming up my eyes. I mean, you know, how's that happen? What some man was saying? Y'all, here's my thing with people now. I got so where I didn't trust anybody. Y'all right? I didn't trust nobody. You should have people that you think are one way, and that, you know, people crazy. Y'all right? I don't trust them. But God don't give me a whole lot personally, but I could take you in my notes where I wrote down one day with God just so clearly, and God just reminded me, said, I never asked you to trust anybody. I just asked you to trust me. And then I expect you to trust others, and when they let you down, then you trust me to take care of them. Oh, that's good stuff, y'all. It's all is in the Word of Life. John said, "This he's real, it's real, the Word's real, and you can have this encounter with him." In Acts 20, in verse 21, the Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. John was saying, hey, listen, we've seen it, it's real. All this stuff is real. We heard him, remember the parables, the sermons, and we can hear him now in his Word, amen? It says, and that's that meaning, when you see there, it says we've heard him, that have heard, and I'm not really good at Greek language and all that stuff, and even English language in school, but listen, the form of the word is a verb. It shows that it's something that happens, completed in the past, but it's impacting the present. So John has said, we've seen this and experienced it, and now it's impacting what's going on now. And that's what Jesus wants to do in all of our lives. What happened here in his word that we know has already happened, but it can impact what happens. I challenge you to before, when as soon as you can, even now at the altar, and then continuing through this day, and be back here tonight at whatever cost, and pray that some way we can get a glimpse of what God is trying to say about our sin. Because I'm telling you, if you ask God about your sin, he'll begin to shine that light on it, and that word of life can come alive. But now you can just go on and do whatever you want to. Amen. Oh, preacher, you know, got excited about the men's trip. Whoop-de-doo. You know, I does that every year. No. See, the sad thing is, somebody asked me that this morning, and they told me they were excited about coming, and I walked away going, good gracious alive, I thought I was excited last Sunday. But see, what the reality is, and I've said this time and time again, I never forget, we got to the point in some of these trips. Somebody asked me how many we've done, a bunch, I don't know. But we got to the point, sometimes God would move, you know, in testimony time coming home. Like he moves in a revival, you know. Like something really happens in your life, you see something, man, just God moves. And then I have people try to make it happen. Y'all, some of you men been with me. All right, let's get the microphone out and let's have testimony time and watch God move like he did last time. God ain't doing that. So what it tells me, as I've said this time and time again, what happened is, for me, okay, I left all those things I wanted to do, need to do, all the control behind, and simply spent a few extra hours with God. And you can do that today. Most of you will not do that today. Spend a morning, listen to the Bible being taught. And y'all, there's so much resource for you now that you can get and get a hold of, right, Scott? Amen? So much. But if you spend time with him, what happens? He shines light on our sin. And I, me personally, I'd much rather just go talk and hang out with family and friends and people at church and just do stuff and just, you know, have a good time and try to, you know, not have to think about all the stress and terrible things in the world for a little bit and then just go work, you know. Y'all do realize I do have a job, okay? I'll get up in the morning, I'll drive back to Charlotte, go to the hospital. You know, I have work things to do. But I'd rather just, I didn't enjoy this weekend. I didn't enjoy being reminded of my sin that I'm still struggling with. And, you know, it breaks my heart hearing people tell what their sin has done. And some of you that I love dearly, and some that have got away from church I love dearly, they're dealing with the same things. You know how I know that? It's sin. It don't matter what the sin is, Lexan. It don't matter what the sin is. And it'll ruin your life. And the Bible says there's going to be this large number of people who are going to die and say, Lord, 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 Lord. He says, I never knew you. I never knew. I don't even like to think about that for the worst person that ever lived. Would you bow with me? Just keep your hips bowed and eyes closed. That's not real easy, is it? Because I'm supposed to say what I normally say, and we're supposed to sing a song and have an invitation. And how many of you would be honest with God and yourself, nobody else, right now, that moment, that's the first moment that you've been quiet before God this week? What does God want to talk to you about? What is it in your life? What is the sin? I can name all the common sins and miss yours. There's somebody here today, see, you know God, he doesn't know you. And if you leave here and Jesus returns in the next few moments, or if you're killed on the way home, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to go to hell. That thought would want me, I'd let's just keep y'all here the rest of the afternoon, begging you, don't don't, please don't let there any be chance that could happen. Some of you know Jesus, but you're not where you used to be. Or more importantly, you're not where he wants you to be. And some sins come back. Maybe a little worse. But the world and the courts, your friends, it's okay. It's okay now. I beg of you during this time, the noise is getting ready to start back. My noise and my voice is already here, but I just want you to hear from God. And if it begins at this altar and it means you don't go to lunch, it means you separate yourself from your family and you go to another room or you go outside at home, or that you just get alone with God and ask him to take your Bible. Maybe you tell yourself and everybody else you have to tell that I think I need to come back to church tonight. I don't normally do that. I have plans. But if there's any chance that there's sin in my life or that God wants me to be used tonight to say something or share something that helps someone else to begin to deal with sin and miss hell or have their family saved, Lord, help us. If you've never received Christ, I beg you. If you've got sin in your life, I beg you. You don't have to confess it to me, but I'd pray you'd run to this altar and give it to God and turn from it. And Lord, then reach out for help. Whatever the need is, would you come? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jessica.
Page 596, I surrender all.